time for the crunch for Savoy Tavern, the newest, oldest pub in town. It's where you go. Robbo, fascinated off the back of that John Barker conversation to throw this into the crunch. And I think we've got an issue with Robbo's microphone here. I don't know whether he's back on here with you.
Yeah, I'm back.
There you go. What is the danger of this becoming a popularity contest?
Yeah, it always does.
But it hasn't worked in the past. It didn't work with Jeff Gershon. It didn't work with Matty Primus. It did work with Paul Roos.
Yep.
It, for the sake of the footy club, you go, your players want to play for John Barker, so that's a huge tick. And, of course, it's you and Dermot are right. It's a big tick. But it's not the only tick, surely.
No, it's not. It's not. You got to know modern-day football. He spoke about Rob Wiley and Dean Laidley. John Barker's, what, 40? You've got to have life experiences as well. I mean, we're seeing a lot this year, you know, unfortunately, with Phil Walsh. You've got to have a person who's got life experiences to deal with life challenges.
Mm.
And as a young coach, that can be really difficult. I think, you know, it's a work in progress. You know, I don't think we're going to go back to the days of appointing Herd, Buckley, even though Bucks has come out really well, at 35, 36.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, your kids. You're veteran football players, but your kids in life. You know, so I don't think we'll be going that. So that may go against John Barker, but he has to know football, which he does. And clearly he has the communication skills, the empathy with the football world. Has he got the... It's going to be a real test for Carlton. And you're a Carlton supporter, Andy, and so I'll throw one back at you. Carlton have always wanted a high-profile figurehead at the club, the coach.
Mm.
So they can say, we got him and we're Carlton and this and that. There will be an absolute fundamental cultural change. And they're advertising, really. They're interviewing people for the first time in 150 years. If they said, we'll give it to John Barker, who is not a bad player, hasn't got a huge profile, and it's really unlike Carlton.
He's not a favourite son of the club.
And he's not any of that. Do you think it would be a fundamental cultural shift if they did?
I think it would be, and I think it would be a shift for the better. That's why I was excited when they came out and they said, we are going to appoint, and they've appointed, a subcommittee of eminent football people to seek out the next. They were going to presumably put, you know, a list of non-negotiables that whoever is going to be the next guy needs to tick.
Yep.
And I reckon we've got a good feel for what the modern-day AFL coach requires, what they need to bring to the table. You're starting to get a look at it from Alistair Clarkson to Ross Lyon to Alan Richardson to Luke Beveridge. You're starting to get a sense for what these time in the game, experience coaching a footy team, educational background, tertiary education, good listener, good people person, good at the administration of a footy department. All of that sort of stuff is becoming, you see that it works. And I would love to think that the Carlton Football Club would find a person who ticked all of those boxes. Go and get somebody who ticks all of those boxes. There's a guy out there who I would have loved to have thought was in the mix, but he's already said, I'm not interested. And that's a guy like Chris Fagan. I would have thought Chris Fagan, low profile to anybody who's not in footy. I reckon Chris Fagan is exactly the right type of individual
person
to come into the Carlton Football Club right now with all the background and experiences you talk about.
The real comparison, I know he's a little bit older, and it's Alan Richardson. Alan Richardson was an assistant coach at Carlton, Collingwood, Essendon. Then he went over to Port Adelaide. Went over to Port Adelaide, and he got the job. And I reckon some people would have thought, Alan Richardson, eh? Geez, he's been around for a while. What is he going to bring? Courageous, gutsy call by St Kilda. And right now, 2 years on, Alan Richardson is looked at from my point of view, and I'd love to get a King and Derm's view on it. I look at Alan Richardson and say, you have been perfect for this football club in your educating, and they play a brand of football that I really, really like, there's the ball, and you are not walking off this ground unless you spend every ounce of energy getting that ball or getting the person who's got the ball.
They score from the most midfield turnovers than anyone in the comp. They're the best at it. Better than Hawthorn, better than West Coast, better than Collingwood. It's amazing. And that platform, will only get better in 2016, and then other areas of their game will improve. Grow.
When I was in the opposition analysis
great start.
When I was in the opposition analysis meeting with St Kilda, I wasn't allowed to write this. I wrote it, and then I sent the article back to Alan Richardson. He says, you're not putting that in. He said, you can put it in after the event. It was before the Melbourne game. And what happened, they put up all this numbers and footage, and they were talking, and they were talking, and they said, and Danny Sexton says,
former
right.
Port Melbourne superstar.
He
knows his footy, Derm. You know him?
I know who he is.
He'd be a great person to have a few beers with and talk footy. He said, right, this is our strategy, what Richo wants to do. We, this week, are going to aim for 40 midfield turnovers, because if we do this against Melbourne, we're a good chance of winning, because they are ranked this low on getting scores against their turnovers, forcing turnovers. So I watched the game. At three-quarter time, and you were on the boundary line,
right,
Kingy, and you said it. At three-quarter time, St Kilda had laid 81 tackles. At three-quarter time, in three quarters, on the fastest deck of footy that's known to man at Etihad, St Kilda absolutely pulverised Melbourne, and they only won with like a minute to go.
Lucky to win.
Yeah, and a minute to go, and their planning and preparation had sort of worked. It worked, and I thought, imagine doing this every week.
One thing St Kilda have done over the last couple of years, you make your recruits, and you can recruit good players. All right, who's next best in line? Yep, he is. We reckon we've got pick 20. It's our second pick. We reckon this bloke is the 20th best player in the draft. So they pick him. St Kilda have actually said, no, this bloke might not be the next best player in the draft, but what he does have, the upside he has, is star talent. Because after you take Revolt out, St Kilda 2 years ago didn't really have stars.
They had two full-time players.
Goddard and Del Santo became free agents and left, and that was in an attempt to even up their salary cap. Revolt is the marquee player. You keep him, of course you keep him. He's the heart and soul. But then they had to get stars. And what they've done now, they went for Billing, who has star talent. The little kid...
Jack Loney?
Loney. Now, Loney went at 40-something, but even the selectors say, a bit small, might get knocked around and that. By God, he's got talent.
He's got
so
heart
they
too.
Said, you know what? This kid might get knocked around. He might be that. But we need star talent. That's gone for some real wheels, and they've gone for some real talent, regardless of what pick they have. And they're actually starting to reap the fruits of this a little bit earlier than perhaps
they
might.
That's the sort of program Carlton needs.
100% right.
They need the program. I don't think necessarily the coach is as important as the whole body of the program.
We started on Carlton.
Couldn't
agree with you more. Got to St Kilda. And then big circle is exactly what Carlton needs.
Here's another couple for the crunch for the Savoy
Tavern. On the crunch, by the way.
Can Hawthorn, and let's hope this isn't an issue, let's hope for Jared Ruffhead's sake he gets back to playing footy, but if he doesn't this year, can Hawthorn win the flag?
Yeah.
Still can?
Yep, I believe they can. The other boys have got their own opinion.
No, I don't think they can. I think that he's a significant loss. Significant.
Well, he's almost their best midfielder at the moment, prior to him going out.
Over the last 3 weeks he played, which says to me, if he was their best forward, I would say it's going to be tough for them, but they've learned how to score without him. They are still going through the stages at the moment of man-managing their midfield. So it was his turn to go into the midfield over the last month or so. It mightn't have been his turn in another 4 weeks' time. Then other players would have come in and spent more time there. So I reckon they can, as good as he is, I reckon they can cover the loss of him.
Are you concerned about his future?
Oh, well, the health of any young man is a concern to everyone.
They're waiting on one last test, aren't they?
I'm the same as you. We all keep our fingers crossed for him.
Can I be honest? I was taken aback when I saw Ruffy talking on Hawk TV during the week. I was
Melanoma is a very serious wound.
Yeah, I looked at him and I went, ooh, this is a lot more dangerous.
Even the scar can play tricks on the mind and can really affect your confidence levels. So remember Anthony Stevens having a shard of glass go through his face from the Redback Hotel?
Yep.
And it can really knock his confidence around for a period of time there where people weren't looking him in the eyes, they were looking at the scar. It does, it plays tricks with you. And I hope that he doesn't have anything like that, Ruffy, that he doesn't suffer any of that sort of stuff, but it can knock you around.
It's a good point, King.
What's the fallout for the loser of the North Melbourne Geelong game?
The Kangas just have to win. Just have to find a way. Their effort last week, I mean, we talk about effort a lot in footy, and it's almost a given that you're going to turn up with a certain level. They didn't even bring that certain level.
That was embarrassing last week.
Wasn't it?
It really was. And I know
they'll bring it tonight, though.
Essendon were more embarrassing, and that's why they got all the headlines. But if Essendon were just sort of bad, and they lost by 35, the pressure on North Melbourne, or the external pressure, would have been quite intense. And I was really surprised, and I really like Brad Scott, but Brad was talking about the media and the people.
Yeah, I thought that was an error.
I thought to myself, don't worry about what we think. Like Nathan Buckley says on 360, he goes, the external noise doesn't worry us. I'm sure it does a little bit. He said, we don't even care. Brad went quite the opposite.
You got it wrong last year. You got it wrong at the start of this year. You'll get it wrong again.
Who cares? That's fine, but who cares?
He's right, though.
Yeah, he is right.
Hey, don't know. The wash-up for me out of this one, the Cats have been a wonderful team. They have lost some absolute all-time greats over recent years. They're brilliant the way they can claw on to that area of the ladder. If they lose this one, we almost say to ourselves, well, this is probably the bit of the slide we expected, a team somewhere in the same area of the ladder.
Taking a couple of years, and it might be.
Hawkins could kick 10 tonight.
Yeah, he likes playing against the smaller guys.
Everyone's like playing against
North Melbourne. North defenders at the moment. If they lose this one, you know what it says? This is where they are. They had a really good year end of last year, but this is where they are, because it wasn't as if they weren't inconsistent last year. They got rolled by, I won't say bunnies, they got rolled by some much, much lesser teams, and then they come out and beat the reigning premier.
Yeah.
They somehow get on a roll and they get through to the end of the season, but this year they've done the same. This is their lot. If they lose this, this is where they are at.
Give yourself 45 seconds to be the match review panel and adjudicate Taylor Adams for me.
I reckon Taylor Adams should get a week.
What for?
For each time he dropped his knee into a guy lying on the ground. I worked it out to be 3.5. So I'll give him the benefit and I'll take the half off him.
3 weeks.
Taylor Adams should go for 3 weeks for 3 times standing over a bloke and dropping his body weight through his knee.
Who hasn't done that?
No, that's all, that's no problem. Everyone's done that, Derb. Seriously,
Derbs.
He does it a twister.
Doesn't even have to be angry with anyone.
So 3 weeks for Robbo.
I think 3 weeks. No. That was a shocking look. That was shocking.
Was there enough force in any of it to
see? 2-1 for me.
Not just because he's sitting next to me. I'm 2-1.
Right up.
What are you, Andy?
I reckon he gets. I don't think there's enough. I agree with you, bad look, but I don't reckon there's enough insufficient force. He didn't
lay down there on the ground.
No, you're a bit heavier than Taylor. I'm not going to give you it.
Seriously.
I'll drop your knee into your head. Bad look. No doubt it was a bad look.
That'd be a bad look. You two wrestling
here. It'd end up being a bad look for me.
It could be considered a mating dance in some customs.
That was the crunch for the Savoy Tavern, the newest, oldest pub in town. It's where you go. The Saturday Spotlight up next.